This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Welcome back. This is the Daily Digest with Sharmila Ganesan, Juliet Jacobs and Sumitra Selvaraj. Before the break, we were talking about a viral video from an artist in Bengaluru where he dressed up as an astronaut so that he could get some potholes fixed.
Brilliant.
Now for our second story, we have a poll going on Twitter.
We're asking you, have you ever taken a selfie with an animal in the wild? Your options are yes or no. And you can join the conversation. You can tweet in your answer or comment to us at BFM Radio on Twitter. You can WhatsApp us at 018-789-8899 or you can call us at 03-773-2900.
So how is that poll going? How many people?
88% of people are being very good. They've said no, they've never ever taken a selfie with an animal in the wild before, with 12% saying yes, they have.
Maybe they just haven't had the opportunity. I feel like I don't have a lot of faith.
Actually, this is making me feel a lot better about about people. But I mean, the reason we're asking you this question is because the selfie culture, you know, which is alive and thriving and perhaps fueled by narcissistic need for people to share every second of their life on social media. I don't know.
I'm feeling a bit judged.
No.
Okay. Just a tiny bit.
But, you know, so if you want to do it yourself, that's fine. But now they're involving wildlife in it and it's supposedly having very adverse reactions for the wildlife themselves. So what's happening is that these increasingly irresponsible travel behavior by tourists in the form of animal selfies is helping to contribute to wildlife exploitation and animal abuse on a global scale. And more recently, studies have shown that it's actually affecting the behavior of the animals. So, but back in 2017, animal welfare group World Animal Protection, they actually released a study on wildlife tourism, and it was revealed that the growing popularity of wildlife selfies was inflicting stress and suffering on the animal and, you know, also robbing them of their freedom and encouraging contact with humans that makes their chances of survival back in the wild much harder.
So according to the report, behind the scenes, these animals are often beaten into submission. Yeah. They're taken from their mothers as babies and secretly kept in filthy, cramped conditions, or they're repeatedly baited with food that can have a long-term negative impact on both their biology and their behavior.
And, you know, you've seen this, right? Many travelers venture to a specific destination just to get a selfie with what is evidently a drugged out tiger, or elephant, filling their social media feed with pictures of how awesome the experience of being up close and personal with wildlife is to their friends.
We've seen pictures with an animal that's been beaten and drugged.
No. It was tied up.
And the animal obviously looks distressed and or spaced out, right? Yes. And we've seen all the pictures of them straddling these hugging koala bears, for example.
Yes.
You know, it's supposed to be evidence of their love for animals and proof of their amazing adventures. But I ask, at what cost does this come?
Exactly. And so, you know, at a recent, this is my favorite thing, International Penguin Conference in New Zealand.
How do we get in on that?
I am going to find out. I want to attend next year's one. But more seriously, the experts were worried. I mean, among discussions about, you know, the perils of climate crisis and habitat loss, surprisingly, the issue of wildlife selfies cropped up, with experts concerned that, you know, it's the celebrity fuel search for that perfect shot is actually affecting animal behavior. So a professor, his name is Philip Seddon, he's the director of Otago University's Wildlife Management Program. He was saying that, you know, we're losing respect for wildlife and we don't understand the wild at all.
Yes.
I really think so.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. And Seddon also told the Global Convention that the normalization of wildlife selfies was scary and was actually harming animals, including causing physical and emotional stress, interrupting feeding and breeding habits, and even potentially lowering birth rates. So he said that the problem with these, you know, wildlife selfies is that the images are often appearing without a context, right? So, you know, the tourist looks happy and the animal is there looking like it's not being harmed. So even if the message is promoting conservation or an ambassador program, that message is lost and all people see are someone hugging a penguin. And then they want to do that too.
It's so cute, isn't it? The penguin is so cute.
Celebrities are no better at this, right? Yeah. They also contribute to the popularity of wildlife selfies. You've got Roger Federer and Margot Robbie posing with quokkas in Australia. You've got Justin Bieber with a tiger. Yep. Kim Kardashian with an elephant, and Swiftie with a kangaroo, I think. And then in New Zealand, tourists have been caught dancing with endangered sea lions for selfies, chasing rare yellow-eyed penguins, and trying to hug the shy and reclusive kiwi bird.
And that's terrible things. And I don't know if you read, this was a few years ago, but some dolphins that were, you know, near the shore were
Brazil.
It was Brazil, right?
Yep.
And they actually died because of the distress from everybody holding them and trying to take a selfie with them.
I think this was on a rather famous beach, and when the dolphins breached or got too close to the sand. Yeah. I think it was just a horde of people who kind of almost suffocated. Well,
they
suffocated the dolphin.
Yeah. So it's a terrible thing. And Philippa Agnew, she's a science and environmental manager at the Blue Penguin Colony in Oamaru. That's in New Zealand's South Island. She said that wildlife selfies have an indisputable impact on the penguins. So we're going back to the penguins here. And all electronic recordings by tourists are actually banned, which I think is a wonderful thing. She said that while wildlife selfies could be beneficial to raise awareness for conservation efforts, things like, you know, the backlight on cell phones, something we don't even consider,
right?
And even the noise, the movement of the flesh of people taking the selfies are actually really stressing out the animals.
So going back to the research that we spoke about earlier, right? Researchers at the World Animal Protection discovered that a 292% increase in the number of wildlife selfies posted on Instagram between 2014 and 2017. 40% of those images posted described as bad selfies, meaning somebody hugging, holding, or inappropriately interacting with a wild animal. A good wildlife selfie, on the other hand, was described as a picture where there is no contact between an animal and a human, and the animal is not being restrained or being held in captivity to be used as a photo prop.
Yes, I think that's a very good guideline there. So I spoke to Andrew Sebastian. He's the founder and chief executive officer of the Ecotourism and Conservation Society of Malaysia, or ECOMAI. So I was talking to him about this culture of selfies with wildlife. Andrew himself is a naturalist, and he actually leads a lot of wildlife tours. So he shares how we can still take those photos of wildlife, but respectfully. So, Andrew, I mean, you know, this whole idea of getting too intimate with animals for the purpose of taking photographs, how do you actually feel about this?
Well, it is a growing trend. With the advent of new cameras and interesting 360 phones and whatnot, seems to have taken off on a totally different tangent in terms of how we interact with wildlife. Mm-hmm. It is a concern in many ways. Especially in regards to wildlife here.
And, you know, based on that article that we were talking about, the professor, his name Philip said, and he was quoted as saying that we're losing respect for wildlife. We don't understand the wild at all. I mean, do you think that's happening? Do you agree with that statement?
Yeah, just like us humans, we have our personal space. Mm-hmm. Yeah, this is my personal space. You can't just step up to someone's face and say hello or just stare or take a photo, So it's the same with wildlife, I would think. In fact, a lot more respect is we have to have there, the discipline as well, when dealing and approaching wildlife. And yes, of course, I agree. I think we seem to have blurred the line between leaving wildlife alone and taking a nice photograph.
I mean, the professor was also saying, you know, that, you know, we're living increasingly urbanized lives, right? And then, so we're so alienated from the natural world, you know, we don't have access to wildlife, you know, and it's become, you know, it's just become, we don't know how to behave, you know, we don't even know how to react around animals. Do you think that's part of the problem as well?
Yes, it is. It is our growing disconnect with nature. That brings about this awkwardness when we are approached with a situation where, hey, let's not go so far. Let's say, hey, look at this chicken. You know, firstly, what is this thing? Okay, so from the pretty tasty chicken to the interesting moth that flies into your bedroom, and all your kids start screaming, and you know, and everybody runs for shelter. From a bat flying into the hall, or for a little bird, you know, that's just trapped in your windowsills. So we seem to, because we're so disconnected with nature. Modern man is growing apart from nature. It's awkward and often discomforting and even dangerous encounters. It seems to be a growing trend now. So yes, there is disconnect, and yes, people don't know how to handle themselves.
Okay. And you know, just going back to the article again, do you think that social media and even celebrities, especially the ones who take these selfies with wildlife, do you think that normalizing this whole behavior, you know, of selfie taking with wildlife?
Well, it's a complex issue, but the late Steve Irwin started the ball rolling because everybody saw him on TV. You know, he can jump into a river or run into a bush and pick up a snake. You know? Any snake, for that matter, even a crocodile and stuff like that. Yeah. So yeah, people see him do that, you know, and he takes a cool photo, you know, like he's in front of the video and the video is rolling and he's like, hey, this is cracky, this is great, you know. So people say that, oh, I can do that. Or a child looks at it and says, daddy, can you do that? And of course, daddy says, oh, sure, son, I can do that. Yep. So they see a snake and next thing you do, either the kid picks it up or the daddy picks it up and they get bitten. Yeah, so celebrities on TV and so on, I think over-romanticize the fact that we need to get very close to wildlife so that we can get that nice photo and that nice image. Mm-hmm. It's more of an ego thing as well. So, yeah, it is a growing trend and I do worry about I do worry about visitors and even children in natural landscape. And as you said, even in urban settings.
Because, I mean, like, everything now is about getting that perfect selfie, right? Or that perfect wifi. And they'll pose with, like, a cute quokka, for example, or, you know, some exotic animal. And then, you know, that's it. That just sets the people off on the path of, okay, I need to get that same picture as well. But do you think that the professor's concerns about how these selfies can then affect animal behavior, is that actually a real threat? Have you ever seen cases of that?
Well, yes. We see it very easily. If you're living in the Klang Valley, if you go to Lake Gardens, you'll see there's a big problem now with the long-tailed macaques. People stop to feed them. Yeah, they stop to feed them. And now anybody who walks past them with a bag of groceries or even a bag of whatever, you know, they get harassed or attacked, in other words. We see a changing trend in which wildlife used to shun away from humans, from Kuala Lumpur or the Penang Botanical Gardens, Bako National Park in Sarawak, for example. It's happening everywhere. So it is a concerning trend, yes.
So, I mean, you conduct wildlife tours as part of your job. How do you advise those, you know, who are traveling with you? I mean, what are your tips for tourists, especially when interacting with wildlife? I think saying, like, no photos is just not going to happen, right?
Yes, no, it's not going to happen. Yeah. People travel the world and people travel from cities. They want to go to nature and of course, they see on TV, wow, these beautiful things are out there. Yeah? So the general rule of thumb is keep distance. Yeah, there's personal space for humans. There's obviously personal space also for wildlife. Understand and appreciate what you're watching, what you're observing. So it's always keep a distance. Be respectful in a manner. No feeding is a big thing in wildlife photography. From a safe distance, if you're lucky to find a fruiting tree or something that's already feeding on something else, like a snake feeding on a rodent or like a bird feeding on a snake. You know, the food chain is interesting in nature. Yeah. Yeah, so we take our time and we take our photographs and our videos and so on. In some spaces, baiting of birds or wildlife, certain areas are allowed. So it allows a comfortable space, a distance for them to video and so on. But again, without discipline, without a proper guide to be on the spot to give us some of these tips, that is severely lacking in most of our national parks and reserves, where people do not know how to address themselves. They don't know how to conduct. Yeah. So on tours that I conduct, we keep a respectful distance. We never touch wildlife. Yeah. Only when there's injury and so on, then we try to engage. Otherwise, stay away, keep a distance. And no touching, of course.
Okay, so just take your photos from a distance, right? Your That's ugly fine. Mug doesn't need to be right next to the
doesn't matter to be
to the beautiful animal.
So I was in Bako National Park very, very recently, and some of the local guides were very good. They pointed out beautiful snakes, you know, the mangrove snakes, the waggler's pit viper, for example. It's a beautiful snake, but it's highly venomous. Yeah, so our guide pointed out to us, and it's such a beautiful snake, and we were taking photographs from like maybe 5 feet away. A good camera, so 5 feet, 6 feet away is fine. Then in comes a group of foreign tourists, and of course they have a camera phone in, and they get a lot closer to a highly venomous snake, because it's sitting there and it looks docile. It's not moving. Yeah. So they think, it's okay, because it looks like it's not bothered. So they go even closer, you know. And of course, we have to grab them and say, listen, you have to step back, because this snake can spring. Yeah. A body length of 3 feet doesn't mean the snake cannot strike you at 3 feet or more. Yeah. So that is what I saw very, very recently. And it is a big concern.
Okay, all right. So I guess bottom line is, you know, just keep a respectful distance and take photos from a distance as well.
Yes, that's a good rule to follow. Yeah.
Okay, but I guess, you know, the problem is not so much, people I think are clever enough, or most of the time are clever enough to keep a distance from dangerous animals. It's the cute animals, you know, the cute docile ones that, you know, they go and try and grab, like in this conference, it was the penguins that they were talking about, in Australia, the quokkas, you know. So whatever it is, regardless of whether they're dangerous or not, you should just always stay away.
Yes, regardless, anything that's wild, even things that are domesticated, in fact, you wouldn't want to go approach, touch and hold and grab and so on. Yeah. So even your neighbor's cat, you know, might be having a bad day and you just get, your kid runs up to it and grabs it and it will scratch. Yeah. So similarly, wildlife, you got to think a lot more steps ahead. Because some of this wildlife, although docile, may carry germs when it bites you. Mm-hmm. Yeah, may carry bacteria, may carry viruses and so on. So from the safety reason, I think we must always remember there must be distance and there must be disconnect in terms of physical touching.
Okay, all right. And do you think we need to take more action? You know, do more laws need to be in place? Because, you know, when people go to like national parks, for example, like you said, there's a lack of guides, there's a lack of enforcement, I suppose. You know, is there anything we can actually do?
Well, again, there have been a lot of signs that say do not feed the animals, do not touch, and do not harass. There are laws that say do not harass, for example. So that is, it's a generic word. But I think a lot can be done in terms of us creating more awareness, especially in places that we already know what's there, like Bukit Malawati in Kuala Selangor, for example. A lot of people go there to look at the primates, the long-tailed macaques and the silver-leaf monkey. Yeah. The langur is up there. People sit there next to them and feed them, and then some of them, sometimes the primates climb on top of their shoulders and eat the fruits or whatever or not. And people quickly grab a photo, but more and more when people do this, more and more people will forget that it is a wildlife. It is wild. They carry diseases. They don't mean to bite you, but it will happen. Yeah. So, again, the simple rule is you need to create a lot more awareness. People on the ground, for example, the people who actually sell the food for the macaques up there in Bukit Malawati, should also be given a briefing or training on how to explain to tourists in terms of keeping the distance and the no-touching rule.
Yep. So I guess just to reiterate, photos of wildlife are fine as long as it's from a distance and a safe distance.
Yes.
Because you never know when they're going to strike. And basically any image touching an animal is sending the wrong message. So it's important to reinforce the fact that these animals are wild species. They are not here on our terms. They're in they're in a human modified world. But not to the point where we feel we can touch them.
Especially if we are going into their natural habitat.
Yes, exactly. Yeah.
Right? Yeah. And I'm glad to see that on Twitter, most of our poll respondents agree with us. 90% of our respondents have said no, they've never ever taken a selfie with an animal in the wild. And we had two comments that I especially liked. Jasmine's comment was, no, leave the cute animals alone. Don't kachow them in their natural habitat.
You're very right, Jasmine.
Absolutely. Yes. And I like this one too from Knight saying, I especially pity animals with perma smiles, such as quokkas and sloths, because they are the main targets of wildlife selfies, given the fact that they have, as the term implies, a permanent smile on their faces that's involuntary and that is seen as cute, leading to a much desired selfie.
And she's very right to point out sloths because of their slow movement, they're very easy targets for capture and for selfies. And a lot of the times, if they're not put back in the right place, they tend to die, actually.
See, I think the problem with a lot of this is thinking of animals as props or as entertainment, or not thinking I'm there to learn something about this amazing world that I live in, but rather what can these creatures do for me?
How many likes can I get?
Yeah, how many likes can I get? How cute can I look in this photo? It's just a very shallow and selfish way of approaching nature.
I completely agree, because if you visit a national park or a wildlife reserve, what difference does it make whether you see the animal or not? You have gone to their home. You have seen the environment in which they live in. You have seen how small you are compared to their environment. Shouldn't that be enough of an appreciation? Must there be some sort of a trophy that accompanies accompanies this experience?
Unfortunately, I think for a lot of people, that trophy is one of the most important things. Like, I've spent all this money to go to this country, to go to this wildlife park, and I need to show something.
If I didn't take a picture, it didn't really happen.
That's the one. That is the one.
But I also love your point about how people see animals as props, right? We talked about this a little bit earlier off studio where when I do post pictures of dogs on my own Instagram, my dogs on my Instagram account, and I don't have photos of them over the course of a couple of days, people do message me to say, where are the dogs? And I don't know. Would you like me to go ask them? You don't drag animals into photographs so that they are there to boost the likability of your picture. Mm-hmm. They might wander into the frame. They might stagger into sometimes they might knock over the tripod. They can do whatever they want. But you're absolutely right. We don't treat animals as props.
Mm. But I think that is the problem. And I think the conservation community is also, going back to wildlife, still trying to figure out how these selfies can actually be used for good. And one of the ideas was targeting Instagram influencers to spread the message of how to actually safely interact with wildlife rather than just, you know, use them as props, as we were talking about.
I mean, I think that has some potential.
Yeah.
My worry is that you can't control everyone, right? And how do you define what who an influencer is? But I think that that is at least one way of, especially with celebrities.
Yes, definitely.
Yeah, perhaps teaching them. And they're a great sort of, because I think there's a mutual benefit in also getting this message out.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if Justin Bieber or Taylor Swift wanted take pictures with animals, perhaps there's a better way to do it.
Yes, or, you know, to provide a backstory of how that photo was actually taken, or, you know, what sort of safety measures need to be in place before you can take those things.
We've just had a comment come in on WhatsApp on exactly that same vein, actually. I think most people are unaware about wildlife behavior with regards to what to do and not to do. Awareness starts from the home and school.
Yes,
that's a really good point. Yeah. Well, on that note, we do need to wrap up this story, but you can keep the conversation going. You can tweet us at BFM Radio. You can WhatsApp us at 018-789-8899. We're also on Facebook. Just look for BFM The Bigger Picture. So if you've missed any part of today's show, you can download the podcasts on bfm.my/dailydigest, on our BFM app or on Spotify. Coming up at 3 p.m. on Front Row, I will be speaking to Juvita Tatanwan of the Tuyang Initiative about a musical showcase called Kelonan, which will be highlighting some of Sarawak's traditional performing arts. But we leave you now with Bird Lament by Moondog on BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.